David Sedaris' Monday comments on Morning Edition have dealt with the difficulties and dangers of life in New York City, now the final installment in his series.
Sometimes the best way to appreciate New York is to leave it for a while. For the past 6 years, I've been taking my vacations in Normandy, where my boyfriend Hugh has a house located in a tiny village which, roughly translated, goes by the name The Ring of Dirt. It's the exact opposite of New York. 8 stone houses surrounded by green fields populated with great herds of future steak and lamb chops. On the downside, you can't run out for cigarettes in the middle of the night. Public transportation consists of a riding lawnmower. And unless someone is asking me for a match, I have absolutely no idea what they're talking about. While Hugh speaks perfect French, I have the vocabulary of a toddler, and am forced to entertain guests with such sparkling conversational icebreakers as "me hungry" or "I sleepy now." For a good time, I'll occasionally strap on a plastic apron and join our neighbor as she slaughters chickens. If her grandson is around, he'll stand in the doorway asking questions about my life back in Nye. No matter how many times I correct him, he's convinced that the letters N and Y are joined into a single word, Nye. So what's going on back in Nye? His English is good, but having just driven a penknife into the brain of an unhappy chicken, I find it difficult to recall the unrewarding day-to-day life I'd left behind. According to Frederic, Nye is a land of opportunity where the streets are paved with CDs. Like most of our neighbors, he's under the impression that New York is an absolute wonderland. This means, of course, that he's never been. On our most recent trip to the Ring of Dirt, we were visited by a 74-year-old Parisian who has a country home in the neighboring village. A veteran of 5 misguided facelifts, Colette smoked cigarettes from an ebony holder and spoke English through a mouth stretched tight as a bungee cord. "I adore New York," she said. "My sons and I visited for 2 months last autumn, and every day I would march through your Central Park and fellowship with the adorable creatures you have there. What do you call them? The things with tails." "Rats?" "No," she said, "much cuter than a rat." "Squirrels?" "Yes, exactly. I love the squirrels of New York. Squirrels and fake Rolex watches. Aren't you lucky you've got such treasures to return to?" I'd left New York in a bad mood. They were tearing up my street in order to install a new sewer line, and the noise was so loud that even with my windows closed, I couldn't hear the phone ring. Talking with Colette, I was able to forget the difficulties and think, "Oh right, the fake watches. I guess New York's not such a bad place after all." The following evening, I took a walk, and passing a blind curve, I came across 3 teenage girls lying on their backs in the middle of the road. They asked me for a cigarette, and I mutely handed one over, thinking that back home this could earn me a possible prison sentence. An hour later, he went off to buy a fresh-killed rabbit and came upon the 3 country girls lying there in the exact same position. They asked for a cigarette, and when he told him he didn't smoke, the oldest girl lifted her head, saying, "What are you, English? Scottish?" Hugh said that he was an American from New York, and the girls responded, spastic with glee. To them, New York was a celebrity playground where you can't leave the house without running into Madonna and Michael Jackson, sitting in the park and breastfeeding their babies. "Have you seen many stars?" they asked. "Have you seen Leonardo DiCaprio?" Hugh made the mistake of saying that, as a matter of fact, yes, he had. It was maybe 2 years ago when we saw the young actor and a lingerie model step out of a cab in front of the Museum of Natural History. He tried to pay the driver with $100 bill, and when that didn't work, he asked the hot dog vendor if he happened to have 520s. That's what celebrity gets you in New York. Change. You saw Leonardo DiCaprio exchange money? The next time you talk to him, do you think you could get his autograph? Hugh tried explaining that he hadn't actually spoken to him, but it did no good. They left their spot and spent the next 5 days lying in the road directly in front of our house, not wanting to miss a moment of the action should our good friend Leonardo drop by for a mouthful of local rabbit. Having spent 2 weeks in the Ring of Dirt, we left Normandy and spent a few days in Paris, where Hugh's French friends went on and on about how lucky we were to live in New York. By the time we boarded the plane, I was actually looking forward to coming home. I told myself that from this moment on, I would view Manhattan through the eyes of an enthusiastic foreigner. It was a thrilling resolution that suffered a cruel, violent death the moment we landed and were informed of the sudden taxi strike. The bus from the airport took roughly the same amount of time as our flight from Paris, and I arrived home to discover that they're building a 12-story hotel right outside my window. I'd hoped that the squirrels might cheer me up, but that's too great a job for one single species. Maybe once this headache clears, I'll buy myself a nice fake Rolex and lie in the middle of the street, counting the seconds until I return to my lovely Ring of Dirt.
The comments of David Sedaris, author of the books Naked and Holidays on Ice, his visitor's guide to New York, was produced by Elizabeth Meister and the staff of WBEZ's This American Life.